Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, I want to be talking about, is World War III? I mean, you think about this. I mean, World War II, I believe it was, there was called this Archduke Ferdinand moment. I mean, think about it. One man falls, and next thing you know, we're at war. Kind of connects all these dots. Imagine if that's all it took to begin, you know, to escalate into a world war. I mean, look at all these Archduke Ferdinand moments that have happened. I think the adversary who is wanting us to go to war. War is like evil. I mean, if you have to go to war, it needs to be the last resort. Many lives are ended when war happens. Many lives are ended. And that means if there's people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their life ends, that seals their faith forever. The enemy would love to take a massive amount of lives out, you know, and without this war is never, it's always the last resort. But it's almost like there's people trying to push the world into war. And understand this, when war happens, borders change. Constitutions go away. Leaders change. Everything changes. Everything shifts. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear, this is Glenn Beck talking on his program, talking about some things that have already unfolded, and it looks like we're like at that point of potentially no return for what's taking place. Take a look at this.
This is the kind of war I'm warning you about, not the one where everybody goes off to war and we don't hear anything or see anything. This is the kind of war. When he said, "And if necessary, we will fight alone," he was saying that to America. He finished this speech with, "And if we lose and we are all starving," which I don't for a moment believe we will, "but this island or a large part of it is subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, the guys on the boats, they will carry on the struggle until, really important, in God's good time, the new world, with all of its power and might, steps forth and rescues and liberates the old world." They were counting on us, America, as the world and God will count on us again. We are witnessing a repeat of history. There is no mistaking what side evil is on and what evil is demanding. They're producing it in highly edited videos for the entire world to see this time. There is no hiding. There is no excuse now for us to say, "Well, gosh, we didn't know they were setting children on fire. They were beheading people on the beaches just because they were Christian." All the things we have warned about, from the dangers of the Arab Spring and to the Caliphate, to the Muslim Brotherhood taking control in Egypt, radical Islam spreading into Europe, the old hatreds of the Nazis rising again in Europe, evil is here. It's here. It has not come like a thief in the night, but it has come in the light of the day with the ocean lapping at their heels. Will we make the same mistake that Chamberlain made? Will we follow in the steps of appeasement? Now, I want you to hear me carefully. I am not suggesting a policy. I am not suggesting a plan. I am forecasting a future. One where we will either be destroyed or become slaves of a totalitarian world that is ruled by the insane. Or one day soon we will finally wage war by sea, land, and air. And we will fight in the fields and we will fight in the streets with all our might that God can give us. And we will wage a war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. Which future is up to you?
Of all the things that one of our first acts, our president did when he got in the White House, and you can watch it or hear about it on VFN TV or the VFN Torch. We're trying to figure it out. The first thing he did, one of the first things he did, he sent that there was a bust, a face, a bust of Winston Churchill in the White House. And the first thing he did was to send it back to Great Britain. That quote was from Winston Churchill talking about World War II. Chamberlain signed an agreement or a covenant with the Nazis. They actually thought they were pretty good. They thought this was a good kind of concept they had going on. The New York Times at that time reports are that they ran an article about, you know, why the Nazi concept is a good concept. This is before all these other things were unveiled that was going on. It's just common, you know, for, you know, based on history, that evil is not recognized for some reason until it just gets overly evil. You know, for they were oppressing, killing and burning Jews and the unwanted in Germany, and people who live right next to some of these camps didn't even know what was going on. They didn't even know what was going on. It's amazing. And it's like, it wasn't until after America and the military came in and freed the people and won the war in Germany, did they take all the citizens and walk them through these concentration camps. It was only at that point that they realized what was happening in their own neighborhood. The big thing is like, evil was happening. Evil exists. It's hard for us as human beings, you know, that we really think nobody could be that evil. We showed you they burned a Jordanian pilot to death. They burned him to death. The reason why we show that is so that we don't want that to happen to anyone else. And we still didn't rise up to the occasion. And now 21 Christians, as you just saw even right here on this particular video in Libya, they have been beheaded. In Libya. And our president just calls them, you know, Libyan victims. I mean, at the very same moment in hours of time, you're looking at Denmark. You know, Denmark, in the same situation that's happened in France, there was a freedom of speech rally taking place, or, you know, freedom of speech moment with art and all at this cafe. And a radical Islamist, he goes by the nickname of Little Hussein. Reports are, by the USA Today, they call him a Little Hussein. They began to kill the folks and then went straight from killing the people who were talking about the freedom of press or the freedom of art and goes right to a synagogue and kills Jews. JJ, and listen, I'm telling you, it's the same thing. As a matter of fact, take a look at Fox News right now.
Just to repeat for you what is happening, this is a second shooting in Copenhagen, the second one today. The first one occurred just before 4 p.m. today. This one occurring about 45 minutes ago. We are told in this latest one that three people were shot, two of them police officers. In the first shooting, one person was killed, also officers injured in that event as well, and it appears that there's a suspect still on the loose. They were able to get a suspect description and pictures of that person from the first shooting, if we could bring that up. And they were also able to retrieve the vehicle that he used in that incident. In this latest one, 20 to 30 police officers reported on the scene using semi-automatic weapons. Let's bring in retired Captain Chuck Nash to talk a little bit more about this latest event that's happening in Copenhagen. Are you there, Captain Nash?
I am, Heather.
So do you think the two are related? I mean, 45 minutes ago, the second one happens, the first one just before 4 p.m. today.
Could be a copycat, could be part of a small group, or it could be the same guy that did the first shooting. Could be a jihadi wannabe who maybe couldn't afford a plane ticket to Syria, so he's just going to do what he thinks is being called for by ISIS.
It is amazing what we're seeing. It is amazing what we're seeing take place. And it's like, why don't we call it? I mean, USA Today is reporting they called him Little Hussein. He dedicated his violence to radical Islam, to Islam, as a jihadist. You know, reports are being said. And our State Department, and who is the State Department? That is the President's State Department. It's President Barack Obama's State Department. His former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who used to be the Secretary of State, and now he has John Kerry, who's replaced. So his representative, the State Department spokesperson, Maria Harf, was being interviewed on MSNBC, and she's talking about this problem, and she says, the U.S. can't defeat the Islamic State by killing them. She says, we're killing lots of them, and we're going to keep on killing them. So are the Egyptians. So are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war, Harf goes on to say. Now listen to what she says. This is what she says. Instead, she says, the U.S. needs to be focused on the middle to long range needs to focus on a longer term range, if you would, and the root causes that leads people to join such groups. This is her cure. Such as a lack of job opportunities. She's saying the way that we deal with the people that are beheading human beings, beheading Christians, attacking Jews, wanting to blow Israel up off the map is we need to bring a jobs program in. We need to get people employed. We potentially have the highest unemployment rate in the history of America. You know, reports are, you know, very high, and the people who quit looking for work. And we're going to talk about going over to this radical jihadist areas of the world and say, you know, we got to start business here. It's like, it makes your mind just go, what's going on? What's really happening here? The world is being organized. There are people who move in the concept of Saul Alinsky's methodologies, rules for radicals. Something's been around since Lucifer organized the third of the angels against God. But understand that you cannot organize against God and win. It's not going to be good. I believe the greatest harvest the church has ever seen, the greatest days for the church in Israel is ahead. But I do know we have to wake up and realize that, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so what we're talking about in our program today, and we're going to be unpacking all of this, is, you know, what's really going on? I mean, why are these things taking place? And what do we need to do with it? It's not enough to know the news. We need to know what to do with the news and knows.
We are, you know, discussing, kind of breaking this down. And I think about, you know, these rules for radicals and Saul Alinsky, the mentor of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama, before they were President and Secretary of State. And you need to go back and listen to that series if you haven't yet. It's available for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But one of the tactics, the 12th tactic, is called, if you summarized it, you know, pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And you think about, well, you know, what is the target? Well, the target really is JJ. The target is the Jews and Christians. I mean, think about it. You know, if you counted the number of Christians in America versus the number of other folks in America who are other faiths, there's a lot of Christians in America. But, you know, the Christian faith is about, you know, going the extra mile and being humble and being patient and being kind and long-suffering.
Loving.
And so, you know, the very faith. You think, well, why aren't they saying something like the radical Islamists are saying? It's like, well, you're not going to have a Christian perspective. It has happened in the past, and it's been sin when that's happened in that kind of way, you know, like the Crusaders and all that. But these tactics, when they're wanting to organize a nation, a people, a city, they begin to just pick a target. You got to pick something. It doesn't really matter. Marshall Gantz, you know, the campaign manager, one of the campaign managers for the president, said that, you know, organizers are schizoids. Mm. You have to be schizoid. There's nothing, you know, if you're trying to hang your hat on a hook of what an organizer's values are, you're going to miss it, because that has nothing to do with their values. They're using these tactics to be able to accomplish what they do value. And so you're not going to have that. And so you see, it's very frustrating when you watch grown folks continually buy into the narrative, and it's like, it's just part of the tactics. You know, what do you And they just go from one discussion to the next one, to the next one, and the next one is like, just stop. You're like the dog with a treat or something. It's just like, they so easily we got to quit being so easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to begin to abide with the Lord and follow him. You know, stop following, you know, men and their deceitful schemes. He talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4. That we need to be able to follow God. We need to be able to to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, of all the things he said when he writes to the last about the last day's church, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the church, and he's going to give you strategies to be able to make it. And so if you're not able to hear the voice of God and God is speaking continually, you know, you're going to be, you know, victim to what's going on. God is speaking. That's why we constantly talk about abiding. And if you don't have a plan to be able to abide with God, you can do it. You can go to, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. It's a very simple plan, but it's powerful because you're creating a place in your heart and a place in your life for you and God to have a conversation. And no matter what's happening in the world, you can hear God. God can let you know what's next and what you need to do and how do you respond to this, because it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Well, in these tactics, which reportedly our president taught for 4 years, he taught these tactics for four years, or some reports are, that you have to first pick a target. It doesn't matter really what you pick as long as you just get everybody focusing on it. I mean, you look at the target. The target is Israel. The target is Christians. It's like, why are Christians all of a sudden bad? And why are the Jews all of a sudden bad? They can't even walk through their own streets in Paris, you know, without being called dogs and horrific things.
I mean, catch a clue, really. A country that's so small on the map, and yet the entire world is focused on just a small map and several million people.
Yes, and, you know, we did a whole series on it as part of the Robinson Family series with the CBN on Israel, yes. All the ways that they have blessed the world. I mean, there's so many things they're using right now that God had blessed Israel for them to be a blessing, and we're using technology. I mean, the very cameras that we use in BFN TV studios, they come. This
agriculture, Jews, I mean, there's just so many medical technologies.
Yeah,
facial
recognition. You know, the ability to walk, an amputee, not amputee, but a paralyzed legs to walk. Yes. These different robotics.
Some of the security that they're using now. I mean, they use it in the World Cup and everything. Absolutely,
yes,
it's amazing.
But it's all a lie. I mean, it's just not true. But it doesn't matter. When you're using these tactics, it doesn't matter what truth is. This is what they say in Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. If you repeat a lie long enough, it'll become truth to people.
Wasn't there an evil guy in Germany who actually
espoused
to that saying there?
Yes, Goebbels.
Hitler?
Yeah, Goebbels and Hitler and all those guys, you know. And so they pick a target, then they freeze it. You have to identify it very specifically, and then you have to personalize it. And it's like, I mean, of all the things they could have said to this young man, you could catch our previous program, that's this Jewish man walking through Paris, they start talking about Palestine. But that's the narrative. They created this, they said that, apartheid is taking place in the Middle East, and Israel's oppressing the Palestinian people, and this whole narrative, when there's actually more land in Jordan and Saudi Arabia, and I mean, there's no land. Israel doesn't have any land.
Right.
But people are buying into the narrative. They're buying into the narrative, and so you're seeing the thing being personalized. So people start saying, okay, they picked Israel, they picked Christians, they froze the target. This is specifically it. It's the Christians that are trying to keep you from having birth control. It's the Christians trying to keep you from killing your babies. You know, you should be able to abort your babies anytime you want to. You know, we should have free choice and all these different things. It's the Christians, and they're creating this whole narrative, and they're personalizing it. Like, you know, the Palestinians aren't going to be free if you continue to support Israel. Then they polarize it in regards to get people on different sides. And now all we got to have is this militant action going on.
And the media partners right alongside them. Ask the average person, you know, in your community, what do they think about it?
Right.
Just from media reports, they would think that Israel's the one that's doing Hamas harm, if you will. And it was Hamas who's launched 10,000 rockets since 2005 or 2006.
Which is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, according to Kamal Saleem, who ministries when he was on. He said, that's the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. I don't know, Houthis in
Yemen.
That's Iranian's militant arm. And it's like, you know, you got to watch both hands at the same time. You cannot just watch one hand, because, you know, one hand may be shaking your hand and the other hand may be destroying your constitution. And you think about this. Think about having a fish aquarium, a pain. Anyway,
a job.
It's like, oh my goodness, they're using the bathroom in the aquarium. I'm going to have to clean it, the fish, you know, it's terrible. But let's just get past that for a moment. And so it was like, it was pretty for a moment.
For a moment.
Somebody with a cesspool out there. Sorry. So, but imagine you have these fish, you have this glass aquarium. And inside of that, you know, you have, maybe you might be able to see one now, I don't know. But then you have the water in it, and then you put fish in it, and you put like little, you know, silly stuff in there for them to swim around. And something they can hide behind so you can't see your pretty fish. It's like, yeah. That was ridiculous. But now imagine, you know, if there was no sides to that aquarium, if you just, you broke that glass, the water would just pour out everywhere.
Mm.
And so what the walls are, what that glass is in that aquarium, it's holding that water in. And it's allowing those fish to have an environment where they can live in it. So it's all working together. You have the aquarium who actually holds things together. Then you have the water that's an environment for the fish. Then you put the fish in and the fish can swim around.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in America, the Constitution is like the fish aquarium. If somebody wants to do away with our Constitution, what's going to hold our environment together? If you bust the glass, if you break the glass on that fish aquarium, I don't care who you are, you break, the same thing will happen no matter who breaks it. Water's going to pour out everywhere and fish are going to be out of water. You're going to be like a fish out of water. Well, if you think it's okay to undo the Constitution of America, this Judeo-Christian nation, understand it's just like breaking the glass on an aquarium. And so the environment that allows us to be able to function inside these walls of this Constitution, it just spills out over the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, we're just laid out gasping for air like a fish out of water.
Hmm.
It's important. Understand there's an oath of office that every president, every congressperson, every military person, there's a reason why you had a pledge of allegiance that they're trying to take out, because you're pledging allegiance to the United States, to the flag of America, which stands for the Republic, which is the Constitution. You're pledging allegiance to it. When you have citizens becoming citizens of America, they swear an allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. We have a program. You got to go back and see or watch if you didn't see it. But they break off all relationships from anybody outside of America and bring a loyalty and a dedication to the Constitution of America, and saying that they'll defend it from enemies foreign and domestic. And so in that's it's all built around that. So to have a governmental leader, John, that is doing things that's against the Constitution, it's like that's a violation of your office.
Right.
That's a violation of the whole purpose why you're there.
Why you're there.
Is to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. Why the Constitution? Because it's like the aquarium in the fish tank. If the Constitution goes, it's a very simple little small Constitution, but if it goes, then water, our environment pours out over the face of the earth, and evil would love for America's Constitution would come down, because it's just really put a thorn in his plans, because America has been a light in the world. It's been an exporter of freedom. It's been the breadbasket of the world, innovative ideas and concepts. Yes, we've taken a dark turn, but guess what? Just like historically it's happened in the past, we can turn back to God.
Yeah.
We can turn back to God. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, got your little pocket book, not a digital book, but a pocket written book, Constitution, I want you to get it. And carry it with you everywhere you go, realizing that this may be the only thing that you have left to be able to know, do I have a right to do this? Do I have a right to do this? Because a Constitution, understand, just like a fish aquarium, once those walls are up on that glass aquarium, those fish can swim anywhere inside that tank. They have the right to be anywhere in that tank, because that's the environment that the aquarium allowed them to have. Well, it's the same way with the Constitution. It allows you all these different things in the atmosphere of America. But as soon as those walls break, as soon as those borders break, and I'm telling you, you know, one of the big responsibilities of our president is to protect our borders. That's a huge responsibility. I mean, it's specifically stated to protect our borders. But we're like doing everything but borders.
Yeah.
And it's like, and according to Kamal Saleem, Bakum Ministries, and others, that potentially over 500,000 radical jihadists, just like this young man from Denmark over here, who's called Little Hussein, according to the USA Today, that shot the freedom, you know, First Amendment rights is always the issues, you know, what we call First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. And then we're right to a synagogue to be able to kill Jews in the synagogue. It's like, we have to wake up. I'm reading right here from the preamble to the, let's look at the Declaration of Independence. The first thing that they wrote in regards to, hey, we're going to have to actually do something different here. This is not working. You know? And it's the Declaration of Independence from the King. The one part of the Declaration of Independence that was actually written, signed on July the 4th, 1776, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator, capital C, with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So in other words, they're saying, remember this one more time so we can understand, this is the whole founding reason why America was founded. I mean, listen to this. I mean, the mindset of our founding fathers. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed with certain, we are endowed by our Creator, God, that's what he's talking about, Creator, capital C, with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At this particular point, government's not even in the question yet. Mm. It's like God is over us. And then he goes, that to secure these rights, what rights? The rights that come from God, not to give us rights from government. It's not a list of negative rights that's been said.
Right.
But to secure these rights, what rights? Rights that come from God. Government is instituted amongst men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. I want to encourage you that, you know, the narrative has been twisted to make everybody think, oh, the government's in charge of everything. Well, no, you're the one in charge. And the 530 elected people, approximately people in Washington, D.C., they're sent there by you. You vote them in or not vote them in. That's how they get there. It's only 530, but there's 320 million people in America who are the governed. So our rights come from God. This is our original founding, 1776, you know, July 4th, 1776. It's not about hot dogs. It's not about fireworks. It was a day that we wrote that our founding father said, we have to declare independence from a tyrannical king, and a whole list of reasons why. We're not going to go over this right now. It was 27, and it's more than what they keep on saying to one all the time. But in that, understand this, that so our rights come from God. So to begin to pull God out of the out of the square, the public square, to begin to pull him out of our schools, you're pulling America away from our original intent. That's a Judeo-Christian value. And then they wrote the Constitution, you know, about a few years later when the war was won, and the preamble to the Constitution. You know, it says, which is the first part of the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and to serve and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, which is people coming after us, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. That's the whole purpose of it. We've lost, we've turned to, you know, it's a battle, it's a tale of two kings. Mm. You know, Israel started thinking about, you know, I know, God, we've been under you and things have been going okay, but we want a king like everybody else has. They said this, and God was providing for them. He was providing everything that they needed. This is Israel. And so this whole thing is like a tale between two kings. You know, do we want, it's SOS, you know, a big old SOS is being sent out, a tale between two kings. Do we want Samuel or Saul? Because at that time, Samuel was the one that God was using to lead. God was leading his people through apostolic and prophetic ministry, and that's what was happening. And so they said, we want a king. We want a king like they have. And so God says, okay, Samuel, give them what they want. And so Saul becomes the king of Israel. S-O-S, Samuel or Saul. We have to make up our mind, which one do we want? Samuel went to God. He was just upset. He was crying. He felt, you know, that he was being rejected. He says, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. This whole horizontal argument about politics and about kings and about presidents and about whatever, that has nothing to do with the real thing is, are you rejecting God in this? Are you saying we want a government like all these socialists, communists, you know, where government is providing everything? You know what happens? What happened in governments like that? People turn away from God because they turn to government. Government becomes their God. This is what he said. He said, they're going to take your, if you choose a king over, mm-hmm. over my form of government, you choose Saul, who was going to be the king, he's going to take your best, he's going to tax you to the hilt, he's going to mm-hmm. take your best men, your best everything, and shut up about it. And it's going to happen. You're going to be under great oppression. And so this is what, you know, we have this available to you right now inside all of our partners. It's available to you. We have a whole bunch of teachings and just green room and specials for you just out of saying thank you to our partners that partner with us on a monthly basis, any financial amount at all.
Be a partner today.
Yeah, be a partner. But it's called A Tale of Two Kings. And it begins to spell out this whole journey because Israel was one nation under God until they demanded a king. No, God redeemed that and brought in the king of his choice after their king. But America is one nation under God, just the same as Israel was in regards to that. But now it's like Americans, many Americans, not all, you know, most aren't, but the loud ones are demanding a king. They want to say, we want government to provide everything for us. 46%, I think, 46% of our population live off government subsidies.
Wow.
46%. I mean, 51% at that point, it turns over. And it's like, who is God? It's not the fact that you're getting any help. That's, I think it's great that our nation helps folks out. But the fact is, but did you make them your God?
Mm-hmm.
Is God still your God?
That's right.
And how you know by who do we honor? Somebody says, man, I have to pay taxes every year. Okay, yeah, because it's government. You know, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Sure. But I got a question. Do you give God his tithe? Do you pay your taxes because they'll put you in jail if you don't? But when God says, will you honor me with the first fruits? That's how we know who our God is. If we pay taxes because we have a greater fear of government than we do of God, and God's talking about eternity here, eternity. And it's like, oh my goodness, I have actually honored government as being oh, it's supposed to come from the governed. What have I done? I've actually removed God from in my heart where that's he needs right. to be. And right, the big question that's going on right now, who's going to be your God? You can't just honor God with your lips and your heart being far from him. This whole thing is about who's God. And you can, what's interesting, you can watch those that are following radical Islam and look what they're doing. Death, mayhem, destruction, chaos, beheading, oppression, burning people to death, raping women, all in the name of their God. And of all the things, I'm looking at this publication right now. I don't know if you can see this publication. This is Newsweek, just fresh off the shelf. And when we were talking about early on prophetically about what was going to happen and what was going on, it says off grid. These kind of publications were criticizing things like fruit and preparation and criticizing people calling themselves preppers. You know, if you have a hurricane, for example, coming your way, you want to be able to prepare for it because the water may shut off that food supplies. I mean, when we had hurricanes in the Gulf Coast area, there's people that started robbing places and breaking into homes. And it was just amazing what took place.
Mm-hmm.
And so the police and the deputy sheriffs are just like you. They have homes, they have families, and they can only go so many places. But once it gets really bad, quite often they just tell them to stay where they're at until it's all over.
And that's during a catastrophe. You have one sheriff in Wisconsin who's saying, today, arm yourselves until we get there. When you add a catastrophe or devastation, they can't be everywhere at the same time.
Yeah, and the Second Amendment of the Constitution, the First Amendment, of course, is you have the right to have free speech and to gather and to petition the government. But the second is to be able, you have a right to bear arms for whatever reason you might need to, other than you can't violate the law with them, but you have the right to possess firearms, not just for hunting.
Right.
You have a right to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very specific in what it's saying there. And it's like now Newsweek, this week, I mean, we've been talking about prudent preparation. You can see it right here. I mean, you think about it. They're saying, you know, learn how you to possibly live. They're saying they're preparing for, telling you to prepare for what's about to happen. And these things, I mean, think about the newscasters that are being removed off their seat. I mean, comedian newscasters are stepping down. And so there's a crew that knows chaos is about to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Deep chaos is about to hit. And they're not going to know what to say at that point, because I think a lot of people are going to say, you're a part of this because you did not tell us the truth. You said everything was fine. I remember when we were coming into Iraq and Hussein's public speaker, what you call the
PR spokesman.
PR spokesperson was going on that TV saying, like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And it was like the whole Iraq was being blown to pieces.
Right.
And it was amazing. And of course, Hussein was hidden out somewhere. But to the last second, till he was removed, he was in front of the cameras going, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And you think, why would that happen? Well, Paul lets us know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against spiritual wickedness. No matter what was on their mind, this is what's on Satan's mind. We need to keep people on the front lines as long as possible, believe in this lie, so as many as possible can die and go bust hell wide open. To take as many human beings into eternity as possible. Because if you cared about the human beings, you wouldn't say everything's fine. You would say run for cover. You know, America's coming, or you know, Al-Qaeda's coming, or whatever it is. You would say something. But to keep pushing people into a place that's going to cost them their life and push them into eternity, and then think about this, then our current leadership is telling them you can't talk about Jesus in the military. You cannot openly evangelize, and just they're causing Christian chaplains to be
can't hand out a Bible. They've been told they cannot hand out a Bible to someone who's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorders,
which is showing you that they're wanting that this, not people, but what Satan's wanted, the spiritual wickedness that we're fighting against, is wanting that soldier to go to war and to end his life or her life and not knowing God. That's just, I mean, it's like, are you that scared of a chaplain? Are you scared of a chaplain? Is that Satan? Do you think that's how powerful you are as a chaplain? Don't give up your role and stand up for your constitutional rights, and understand that our former presidents, I believe it was even George Washington, the first thing he did was he in the military, he got soldiers and he had brought in chaplains.
Yeah.
He brought those two in together. He established the chaplains. It was George Washington that did it in the very beginning, I believe. Because I mean, this is a man that's facing his eternity. And he needs to be right before God.
They pledge your life, their sacred honor, they pledge everything on the line.
Yes, yes. You know?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.